You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock live from your White Claw Hard Seltzer studios alongside Trey Wallace and Bear. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Russ.
Good deal. Good
kind
to hear from you.
Lazy, cold day over here.
Freezing, man. Hugh freezing, if you will.
Ooh.
Ooh. Trey Wallace, good afternoon.
Hey, gentlemen, how are y'all?
I take it you spent the night up at the Wallace compound up in the mountains?
Yeah, I wasn't getting out of there. There was no way of getting out of there. I finally got out, but it was a cold night. It was a cold night.
All right, good deal. A cold night for the Vols last night. A cold shot, as Stevie Ray Vaughan once said. Terrence Lewis, 5-star linebacker, decommitting from the class. Ah, yes, the recruiting class falling apart. A key part of any disintegrating coaching situation. You had Demarius McGee, really highly thought of cornerback, decommits last week. Now it's Terrence Lewis. Who's next? Who will be next to flee the good ship Jeremy Pruitt as it starts to take on water? I don't know. Trey, any thoughts there? Terrence Lewis, I know people have kind of wondered about him for a while. Is this freak out worthy, mild concern? No big deal. Where do you stand?
Well, it's definitely not what Tennessee needed. It's not something they expected
not
last
good,
night
Bob.
Either. Yeah, I mean, they weren't expecting that to happen last night. Like, that was, yeah, you can say, oh, okay, you know, he wasn't on board or however you want to call it.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought he was wavering, but they didn't expect it. Like, they thought that he was going to, you know, maybe see this thing out, but that was not good news, and it kind of shocked the staff yesterday once they got done with practice.
Bear, any thoughts on Terrence Lewis decommitting? How concerning is this to you?
I mean, it's concerning, but I mean, it's not unexpected. We're a clown show. We pull up to the game. Pruitt throws the door open, and all the clowns come out.
Yeah. No, it was here's kind of where I stand. This recruiting stuff, as far as commitments, decommitments, to me, it's pretty small potatoes. And at this point, even the games are small potatoes. Listen, from what I'm hearing, if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm much more concerned about what's going on behind the scenes in my program with my staff, with guys turning on you, with the possibility of your dirty laundry getting aired publicly. It's not to say that obviously they've got the Florida game this week and losing commitment sucks and everything. Like but to me that's piling on. I feel like this is a house of cards. And, you know, losing a 5-star commitment, it's a big headline. But, I mean, we talk. You guys know what's going on here behind the – and I hate to be all cryptic. I wish we could be more specific about some of this stuff. But for those of you that
it
think –
it ain't pretty.
Yeah.
It ain't pretty behind – I mean, you had this conversation last night. And it's like, you know, there's just when – there's just some things that are happening right now involving the staff, and
it's a dumpster fire.
It's not right. It has nothing to do with what's on the field.
No, no.
And that's the bad part about this thing right now is that you thought it was bad on the field. Things could blow up off the field.
Oh, it's a tinderbox,
Tennessee.
Yeah,
right. Compared to getting beat by Florida.
Well.
Yeah. I see what you're going.
For those of you that think 2020, it's winding down. We're about to get back to normal. Things settle down for the holidays. Hold on to your butts, to quote Samuel L. Jackson from Jurassic Park, because I think there are a few huge twists and turns left to come, man, here in the next couple weeks. And I'm not even talking about these three games, man, which are pretty much foregone conclusions, meaningless at this point. I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure, but if some of this stuff spills out into the public, and you've already got you'll have reporters digging on this guy, digging on his staff, looking at things, seeing what's going on, trying to find some things out. I mean, the most logical way for this strange, amazing, awful year to end would be with another Tennessee football coaching search. That would be the way for it. That would be the most logical way for this to end, in my opinion.
The train's at the track, and it's on the track right now, and it's supposed to stop sometime soon. But it might be with some less passengers, and they might have to start the route over again.
Well, and here's the deal, guys. And Bear, I know you don't want to hear this. Philip Fulmer may not want to make a change. He might consider his wagon tied to Jeremy Pruitt's, but he might not have much of a choice if this thing bottoms out the way I'm afraid it might, both on and off the field. So,
well, yeah, I mean, so you're still wanting to, you just don't see any way to, you think we're past the point of just getting rid of Pruitt. You think we got to blow out Fulmer too.
I just think that if things bottom out, you might have to, and I don't know if you blow him out. I mean, it might be a thing where he just walks away. If
I've never known that dude to walk away from anything.
Well,
if you, I mean, I'm being serious.
No, and I don't think I think it just at a certain point it's too much of a mess for one man to clean up, and. He might not have much of a choice. Yeah, this thing might go above his head. And if you've got a dumpster, eventually the dumpster fire, if it catches into the neighboring buildings and everything, it's not one man can't put it out. You know, it takes more than just one guy with a fire extinguisher. You got to call in the fire department. I don't know if this is a great analogy, but I'm rolling with it. We need the fire department. We had a 5-alarm meltdown on our hands. We need those guys who went into Three Mile Island. We know those guys who are in Chernobyl on the front lines. Oh, man. So, Trey
happy
wanted...
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Trey wanted me to ask yesterday, or he wanted to ask. We were on the Rick and Rich Barbecue Smoking Hot question of... What was the smoking hot question yesterday? You guys remember? How excited are you about the game?
Yeah, how excited were you?
Yeah,
for the
and
game.
90% was either 90% of our audience was either not excited, not very excited, or not excited at all. And Trey wanted to add in the caveat: would Harrison Bailey starting change your opinion? How would that alter the discussion or anything? Because you go out there and. Look, Tennessee's probably going to get beat down anyway Saturday. There is a school thought, well, if you go ahead and finally take the reins off Harrison Bailey and let him play, then maybe that gives some fans some hope, some reason for optimism, something like that. We'll throw that out there for you this afternoon. Do anything for you, Bear?
Not really. No.
This is the weirdest darn Florida game. And there have been some weird ones through the years. But this one really takes the cake.
Nobody cares. We see this every day with talking with folks and being on the radio. But people over there understand it like as well. Like it just like the even the press availability with the players today. I mean, God love them. It was just kind of dead. Like it was just in. I don't know what these players are supposed to say right now that they haven't said all season long. You know, like DeAndre Johnson said, beating Florida is at the top of my checklist. And, like, that's the only trash talk.
I like the dude from Florida yesterday who was asked about if it's a rivalry game. And he was like, well, I've been here for 3 years, and I've never been in a game against Tennessee that was remotely competitive. So you'd have to ask somebody else about that. It's like, yeah, that's good. Stay with us. The drive continues. Just getting fired up on a Tuesday afternoon. A cold Tuesday, a freezing cold Tuesday, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. 865-546-8200. We'll get your Rocky Top Report coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee reeling from the decommitment of a five-star linebacker out of the Sunshine State, Terrence Lewis, decommitting last night from Tennessee, dropping Tennessee's class out of the top 10, according to 247. We go from number 9 to number 13, a four-spot drop for the Volunteers. And now you kind of wonder who's next. Well, Ryan Callahan from 247 coming on the show next hour, about 4:30. We'll ask him, is this just a blip on the radar or the beginning of a mass exodus in Tennessee? The one I worry about is that Dylan Brooks kid, man. If he starts looking around, that would be super bad news.
Yeah, Auburn's all over that. They're trying their hardest.
Yeah, not that
that's
this
where
is...
it looks like. That's where it looks like Terrence Lewis is going.
Oh God!
Not Miami, not Ole Miss, Auburn.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that's called dropping the bag, son.
Okay. Harrison Bailey to start. Is that where we're at? Sounds like Jeremy Pruitt's breaking the glass. Only in case of emergency, start your freshman five-star quarterback.
I am, after talking with some folks over the last 2 or 3 days, Harrison Bailey took the first team reps last week, took the first team reps last night in practice. I'm expecting a full go with 15 on Saturday when JG is there for backup duties if he is available.
Oh, really?
Let it breathe, Russ. Let it breathe. Trey Wallace, I don't care how confident you sound right now, and you do sound confident. We are still in the Hotel Garantano.
Actually,
we're never leaving.
Where we are.
It's where we are. Well, we'll see. Sounds like Jeremy Pruitt's checked out. He's got his bags packed. He's got that little cart with the hanger on it, you know, that you put your bags on. He's loaded up all his stuff. He's down in the lobby. He's waiting on the shuttle to come pick him up.
Is he returning his keys?
We'll see if he actually leaves, though. You can check out the Hotel Garantano. But it's been 3 years, and he hasn't left that property yet.
He's going to get to the airport, and his flight's going to get canceled, and he's got to go back and stay for another 4 weeks.
Meanwhile,
Harrison Bailey will throw an interception. JG will be in there by the second or third series.
Rumblings that basketball-wise, Tennessee is looking for a game to play next week ahead of the Cincinnati game. UT Martin appears to be the favorite right now to land that spot. To play UT Martin a week from tomorrow. I know Rick Barnes gets out of the quarantine this week. It maybe you have a couple of practices, a warm-up game against UT Martin. I think that's the way to do it if I'm Rick Barnes. UT Martin would seem like the perfect opponent. Good college team. Those guys are probably in great shape and good college players, but they're not going to beat you. You know, you go out there and beat somebody, work out some of the kinks, and then see what you got against the Bearcats. We'll see.
I think it.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get that done.
I thought it was the right move to begin with. Get some guys an opener game, man.
Meanwhile, both John Fulkerson and Dave Ponce appearing on the Wooden Award watch list, which is only 50 players strong this year. Interesting that Ponce would make it. And I don't think either of those guys going to win the Wooden Award this year, but always nice to have one player on that thing, let alone two, just kind of underscores the high expectations we've got for this season. There you have it, the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into moving, and the folks at the Kregner Group are there to help you develop a game plan that gets your home listed and sold quickly. And houses are selling quickly these days here in East Tennessee. So you and your family could get that home sold and find your new home and move on. Because that's the whole point, right, is moving on. All the hard work, the hassle, the stress. Once you've moved, it's complete. That's why you do it. Kregner Group can get you moved. From locating the right home to walking you through closing and everything in between, they'll be there to show you real estate the right way. Call them to set up your free consultation at 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035, or just find them online at boknowshouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. So we got Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone from Nashville, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, just a few minutes. We will talk to him about his thoughts on the Tennessee situation, as well as the Sarah Fuller situation in Nashville, Vanderbilt. Sure, that's been a hot topic on the airwaves. You calmed down any, Bear? You were hot about that yesterday.
No, I mean, it's just a farce. I'm not as crazed about it, but I mean, my feelings haven't changed. I thought it was, a big sham. I like to call reality, Russ. And the reality is that line had already been crossed 20 years ago. And I just thought the whole thing was ridiculous.
Well, we talked to Chad about the Titans, too. My Titans! Oh! Let's go to the phone.
Wait till I talk to Withrow about that today. Supposedly, like, 9 players walked out today of Vanderbilt's facility and quit the team.
Are they going to have enough people to play up?
They're sexist. Those players are sexist, Trey. They wouldn't walk out if it were a male walk-on soccer player. They're sexist. Not very woke, Vandy. I don't care that you had the first female AD in league history. It's sexist, those players to walk out on their team like that. It's an outrage.
Is it? I don't think it is.
TJ, the Kentucky fan, is up first today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Y'all doing all right today?
Doing well. What's up?
Hey, not a lot, man. Hey, I want to get your take on this. I've called into a few radio shows to get people's opinions on it. But, you know, with basketball season coming up and you guys, I'm not going to lie, man, y'all look good this year. Y'all got some players. Y'all are picked to win the SEC here, so don't let us down, okay? But with COVID and everything, I know you guys have already been shut down for a little bit and a few other teams have. How is that going to affect Selection Sunday when the tournament comes out? Are we even going to have a full season? And how do they put up a, eighth-ranked team who's only played 20 games to a 16th-ranked team who's played 32 games and won their conference tournament? Like, is that going to factor in? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, how does the College Football Playoff Committee look at a team like Ohio State that hasn't played nearly as many games as the other other teams? So, I mean, this is, it's going to be interesting to see how they weigh all that stuff. And as for Tennessee, I mean, you say it looks like we have a good team. I mean, we haven't seen them yet. On paper, yeah, it looks good, but we haven't seen them. And to your point, what happens if Tennessee comes back healthy, puts together a nice season, and then you get to March, and I hate to even say this, I'm not trying to speak it into existence. I'll go ahead and knock on wood, hoping it doesn't happen. But what happens for any team if you get to the postseason and you have a player or two either get COVID or come in contact with somebody who does and end up missing a tournament game? I mean, there's just so many moving pieces right now with college basketball, like college football, that it's hard to project 3 months down the road, let alone a week down the road.
Well, I tell you this, Mark Stoops on his radio show last night said that 26 people in that locker room, players and coaches, have tested positive or tracing with COVID. So that game against South Carolina this weekend, that might not even happen.
Wow. And what happens? Will they just shut it down, or will they let some of these schools make up these games and into late December in snow and everything? Just to, I mean, how many people are going to go to these games? If Tennessee plays Vanderbilt next week and Texas A&M the week after, what would that be, the 19th, Trey? How many Tennessee fans? If we lose, yeah, particularly if we lose to Vanderbilt next week, and we might not play them next week, it might be Texas A&M, or we might be contact traced out. We don't know. But how many Tennessee fans would show up at Neyland Stadium on December 19th to watch Jeremy Pruitt football?
Christmas week, pretty much. I mean, that Sunday starts Christmas week. I don't know. I mean, you'd have probably 2,000 less students. You already know that. I would probably say 15,000.
Just sucks, man. Just sucks.
15,000.
That could have been in another world. That could have been a really fun game to go to. No Corona, and if we had a real coach.
Anything else?
If they beat Florida this weekend, it might be a sellout.
We ain't beating Florida.
What if this dude? That would be par for the course. Harrison Bailey comes off the bench, throws for like 400 yards. Tennessee beats Florida.
Trask,
if we beat Florida this weekend, I will no longer call Trey War Eagle Wallace.
Oh, you can do better than that, Bear. I mean, come on.
I love that nickname.
If Tennessee beats Florida,
one of my favorite toys,
you need to run down Kingston Pike butt naked.
But with a sack full of crystals.
With a Sarah Fuller jersey. That's all you're wearing.
Nah.
Thanks, TJ. Anything else, man?
Hey, one more thing. I appreciate you guys doing what you do. Even though I'm not a Tennessee fan, I love listening to your voluntary reaction shows. It's quite humorous. And you guys do a great job, man. I mean, I know that you guys have had a rough season. I mean, Kentucky has had a rough season as well. But you guys keep doing what you're doing, man. It's great to hear you guys on the air, even if it's midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm always tuned in to you guys. So keep doing what you're doing.
All right, thanks, TJ. Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone. Nobody says point anymore. You ever notice that? Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey back with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by Chad Withrow of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Follow him on Twitter at WithrowZone. Good afternoon, Chad. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. There's so much you could pick your mind about today. So Let's make it a choose-your-own-adventure guest spot here on The Drive today, Chad. What is the most interesting topic that you can enlighten us on today? Is it the Sarah Fuller situation, the Vanderbilt coaching search, Tennessee's game with Florida, or the suddenly resurgent Tennessee Titans?
Well, it's definitely not Tennessee versus Florida. I hate to disappoint you guys, but that's a distant last on the topics that you just listed. Oh,
if you want to talk about anything else, that you will not disappoint any of us.
I think pretty much everybody knows what's kind of about to happen in that game around here, so we spent very little time on that at Nashville. The Sarah Fuller situation is interesting because it really is one of those that, once again, sort of divides everyone.
Yeah.
And you've got extreme overreactions on either side of the opinion on this. It's an odd story. It's a cool story. You know, it's nothing against her with my opinion on this. I think it's cool that she had an opportunity to kick in a game in the SEC and all that. It's neat that because of all this that went down, she had a chance to do it. I don't know that it's a great story. It certainly wasn't Vandy's only option. You know, there's a lot of things they could have done. They had a punter who averaged 43 yards a punt and Harrison Smith that could have kicked off also. They could have gone for two had they scored. You don't have to kick an extra point. There's a number of things that they could have done. They chose to go this route. And it's certainly gotten a lot of attention both locally and nationally. And it's been a hot-button issue for us on the show. We had Bruno Reagan on, who's a former Vanderbilt offensive lineman from the Mid-State today. And he's talked to a lot of guys in the locker room. He said that six or seven guys have quit that Vanderbilt has not announced. On the Vanderbilt side, we were able to source some of that. We know of at least four players, one of them being a team captain possibly, that left the team. And Bruno Reagan claims that some of the guys left the team today because Riley Gay, who's a great kicker for Vandy, is in medical school. He's got a year of eligibility left. He decided to rejoin the team to help them out, and the team was told that Sarah Fuller was still the starting kicker, even if he was ready to go. Players walked out at that point, saying, this is a publicity stunt. This is obviously not anything to try to win a game or try to be competitive. It's not about that anymore, and apparently some of the players were upset. You can look at that and say, did they really quit over Sarah Fuller kicking and not Riley Gay? Or were they looking for a reason to quit like a bunch of their teammates quit either before the season or during the season? And certainly there's an argument to be made there. But it is a story that's not going away, that's for sure, especially after Sarah Fuller was listed as the only kicker on the travel squad with Vanderbilt this week.
So what's the bottom line here, Chad? Is she kicking on merit? Is she really the best kicker for Vanderbilt's situation right now? Or is this a big publicity stunt?
I mean, I think it's a big publicity stunt. You know, I think it can be a little bit of both. I think that it was smart to look at her as an option with everything that they had go on with them. You know, I just watched. Look, it was – we can only believe what the coach is and what she says, right? That was a planned squib kick that hit at the 37-yard line. Probably would have gone out of bounds if the player didn't catch it, so it would have been at the 40. Instead, he catches it, takes a knee at the 35. Okay, so if that's the plan, does Vanderbilt possess a player who could have done that? Could Harrison Smith, the punter, have done that? I asked someone who coached Harrison Smith and said, absolutely, Harrison Smith could have done that if asked. They've got a backup reserve defensive back who's a sophomore from Charlotte who kicked in high school for his high school team. Could he have done that? Yes, he could have done that. So I think Vandy's a good opportunity here. Yes, they needed some help at kicker, but they also said, hey, here's a feel-good story in the midst of a feel-bad season for Vandy football. Here's a chance to give some publicity to our SEC championship women's soccer team and, you know, a chance to make some history. And I think that they're continuing with that. And just because she's going to kick this weekend shouldn't change anyone's opinion. If you have the opinion it's a publicity stunt, just because they're going to trot her back out there this week, that should do nothing to dissuade your opinion of that being the case. To me, it's just them sticking with the stunt at this point and not backing away from it.
Chad, this is Trey. Thanks for joining us, brother. I've spoken with some folks in Nashville around Vanderbilt that cover the team. And I don't know if a lot of people know this or not. I'm sure maybe you do. But I was told they didn't even have a tryout for this position. Like, they just said, hey, let's go this route. They kind of came up with this idea and the notion that they had a tryout for this field goal kicking spot was pretty much farce. Is that something that you've heard as well or not?
Yeah, no, it's they didn't have a tryout. There was the special teams coach had mentioned that, oh, we had some guys who, and it was a funny line, he said allegedly played soccer when they were 6 years old or something that wanted to go out there and show they could kick and they couldn't do it. So Sarah was the best option. Now, I know for a fact that Alex Massad, who was the kicker at MBA, Montgomery Bell Academy here in Nashville, until last year, is a student at Vandy. He offered his services to kick during the games. He was told by a coach to submit them some paperwork to go to the NCAA clearinghouse. He did that. He never heard back. Now, this is where I'm unclear. I don't know how long it takes to get someone eligible if you wanted to do something like that through the clearinghouse. So maybe that's part of the issue with Vanderbilt getting a guy like that ready. There's another young man who kicked in, who's also a student at Vanderbilt that inquired about coming to help them kick when they were in the spot. So there have been other people that would be far more qualified from a kicking of the football standpoint than Sarah Fuller to go kick that for whatever reason has not been processed through the NCAA or Vanderbilt just decided not to call back. So you can kind of take that information and do with it what you will. What was it on Wednesday? Sarah Fuller and Vandy were tweeting out with her in uniform about her kicking that weekend. So, look, guys,
I'm of the opinion that the publicity stunt happened during practice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anyone can look at this and not. And there are a lot of my media friends in Nashville who think that I'm crazy, and I'm looking at them like they're crazy. It's absolutely a publicity stunt. I mean, could she be the best option on the team? I guess you could make that argument, but doesn't it also serve to give Vandy some good press and have kind of a feel-good story with all of this also? You know, a great story, and I talked about this on air, this would be a great story if Sarah Fuller kicked for her high school team in Texas, which I call games on television with young girls who kicked for their high school team in small rural towns in Tennessee. It's happened before. Kicks off in high school for a football team, walks on at Vandy, plays soccer also, and gets her opportunity to get out and kick in a game because of COVID-19. That's a great story. She was a football kicker. This is Vandy taking a player from their SEC championship soccer team, and this is nothing against her. I would have taken the opportunity also if I were her. But putting her in a position to make history by kicking in an SEC game, to me, that's what it is. I don't think it's a best option scenario. And it's definitely not their only option. There are other things they could have done.
Chad, I want to get to the Tennessee Vols real quick. They lose a 4-star and a 5-star in a span of 4.5 days. You've got some interesting things going on behind the scenes right now inside the facility. You got the Gators coming up on Saturday. It feels like, you know, and look, covering this team, it just feels like nobody cares anymore. And that's kind of the way that it seems like it's heading down that route. You go get beat by Florida really bad by, I'd say, 24 points. I know the spread sitting around 16 to 18 points, but you get beat by a couple touchdowns. This thing could – I mean, look, we're sitting at pretty south right now, Chad. But if they go get blown out by Florida on national television and end up losing another recruit or two, this thing could get worse than where we're at right now, correct?
Certainly. I mean, I don't know with 3 games left how much worse it could get in terms of the perception of Tennessee fans. Because if you get Harrison Bailey this week, I think that's going to be a bonus for Tennessee fans either way. You get Vanderbilt the next week. I mean, you know, when they were barely losing to Kentucky and playing well with Florida and Tennessee was having their struggles, you heard from a lot of Vandy fans around here locally calling that a win for Vandy against Tennessee. Those Vandy fans have disappeared now, considering Vandy may not be able to field a team by the time the Tennessee game comes around and everything that's happened with them. So Tennessee should absolutely beat Vandy. So you're looking at 3-7. I mean, if they don't lose by 50 in these games, which certainly could happen when you watch this team play, I don't think it's going to be anything unexpected. The two recruits that Tennessee lost, now that's a story that I'm really paying attention to, because throughout this whole mess of this season, that's one thing you could hang your hat on, right, was, hey, Jeremy Pruitt and the staff, they've held on to all their recruits. Maybe COVID-19 is going to help them there because guys can't take visits. And they really kept that class together and did a good job with a lot of poor play on the field. So if they continue to lose recruits, that's certainly something that you would think Philip Fulmer is keeping an eye on. But I'm still of the belief that Jeremy Pruitt's the coach in 2021, barring something totally unforeseen happening, like a loss to Vandy, like a pair of 40-50-point blowouts to Florida and A&M where it's clear guys have quit on this coaching staff. I think that's the one thing that could turn it. And again, I'll say it also, like I said with the recruiting, if they continue to lose another commitment or two, that's a storyline worth following with this program.
Chad, last question on the way out of here, man. The Tennessee Titans, I mean, my goodness, Russell's Titans are blowing down people in the running game. Tannehill's looking pretty nice. Phillip Rivers, some interceptions. I mean, it kind of feels like this Titans team is maybe turning a corner in a sense of getting some games that they're supposed to get. Does that make sense? Compared to losing some games that, you know, that sometimes they just end up just kind of pissing away, to be honest with you. How would you assess where the Titans are right now as they head into another weekend coming off a big win in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, winning in Baltimore, winning in Indianapolis, much improved after that Thursday night loss to the Colts at home. They just pounded the Colts. I mean, they look great on Sunday. This is officially Derrick Henry season. About it here in Nashville, but when the weather turns colder, that guy gets stronger and stronger as the year goes on, and he's starting to show that once again. He is so unique in the NFL with what he can do and his ability and his size and everything else, and he's becoming a superstar in the NFL. So it's impossible not to feel good about the Titans right now at 8-3. Sunday's game is huge. It's one the Titans should win. They're better than Cleveland, but it's a team that brings in two great running backs. With Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt going against the Titans this weekend. So that's a home game they need to win. They win that one, they're 9-3, and once again, you can kind of start to point towards, all right, is this a team that can get hot in the playoffs? Not just are they going to be in the playoffs, but can they get hot and make something happen like a year ago? And I don't see any reason to believe why not. The defense has been suspect. Third down defense has been historically bad this year. They got a lot better in that department after giving up two early touchdown drives against Indy on Sunday. If that side of the ball can improve a bit and they keep playing offense the way they have this year, I think even more good things are ahead for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Chad, that was going to be my last thing before we let you run here. Like, what do the Titans have to do here these last couple of games in the schedule? It's interesting how it lightens up a little bit. We'll see what happens against Cleveland this weekend. But is it that simple, just tighten up defensively in order to make some sort of run in the playoffs?
Yeah, and I think getting some guys back healthy, you know, Dory Jackson, the big mystery, hasn't played this year with his injury. If you can get him back and get him ready for the stretch run, would be big. Clowney has been out also. Just find out what exactly you have with him, which I still don't think we really know with this Titans defense. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit better execution defensively. The defensive line, with led by Jeffrey Simmons, is getting better and better, a little bit better defensively. And what they bring to the table offensively, I mean, there's not a lot of teams that have Derrick Henry combined with A.J. Brown at wide receiver and Corey Davis, who actually leads the team in receiving yards this year, who's looking for big money in a contract year. So the weapons they have offensively, it's very, very good. And they're in a good spot as they move forward into December.
Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone, our guest this afternoon. Chad, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Chad joins us, all fan-run guests do, via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. Again, that's g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls on the way. It's Fan Run Radio. Well, the line is up to 17.5 on FanDuel, and there's never been a better time to join FanDuel than right now because they've got the risk-free up to $1,000 to play with promo going on right now. That's right. Risk-free, up to $1,000. You get it all back if you don't win. So you can go throw it all on Florida to cover. I think I'm hardly the only one doing that this week. But if you're a new user, you go on to FanDuel, download their sportsbook app. It's simple, it's easy, it's intuitive, and you can bet up to $1,000 on any bet that you want, risk-free, meaning, yeah, you get it all back even if you don't win. So that's a great one-time option if you're feeling particularly confident in a Florida beatdown of the Vols this weekend, or perhaps you think A&M will cover 6.5 on the road at Auburn. Texas, 9.5, an intriguing line at Kansas State. Will the Longhorns bounce back under their beleaguered head coach, Tom Herman? There's a lot of different bets you could participate in. Go on to FanDuel. Use our promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. That's promo code DRIVE1. The FanDuel Sportsbook, up to $1,000 risk-free this weekend, folks. You got to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Bear, Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone. What did you learn?
That he agrees with me that that whole Vanderbilt thing is just a giant publicity stunt and boondoggle.
He did seem to indicate that.
Yeah. It's a joke. I don't know. I don't even really want to talk about it anymore. Give it any more oxygen than it already is.
Yeah. We'll circle back. Let's get some. Let's get these phone calls going here. D.R. Vol is up first today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, D.R. Vol.
Hey guys. Yeah, that FanDuel man. They're doing two offers actually, on the risk free. The other risk free is betting on this Tennessee game. I got it. I got the line at 16.5, yeah, and put a few hundred dollars on it. And I may put a few hundred dollars more on it. They're going to buy me some Christmas.
You're just going to throw down all the – how mad will you be if Tennessee covers?
I can see it coming. Pruitt's going to save his dang job. Bailey's going to look good. See, Pruitt will save his job. Bailey looked like he should have played all year. And I'm going to be out several hundred dollars. It's just the worst of the worst.
Backdoor, late cover on – like we'll be down 23 – and we'll hit a long touchdown against Florida's third stringers to make it a 16-point game.
Yeah, Bailey will get hurt. JG will come in and finally hit somebody in stride. Screw me over one more time.
the spirit of the Vol fan, so battered, so torn, so shredded. It's just it's hard to watch.
Sad, man.
Sad.
I'm surprised if you could be in hospice care for empathy. I'd be there, man. I'm there. Or apathy. I'm there, man. Russ, did you see that Jonathan Kongbo confirmed the African drum story on
I did
the right
see
Reverend
that
today?
Yeah. I sent him a message seeing if he wanted to join us to tell that story. But I don't think he was actually there. Like the story I heard, and maybe he'll hit me back and jump on with us, but the story I'd heard was that Hugh Freeze went up to his house. Like, he was at Arizona Western in JUCO, right? And that Hugh Freeze went up to his house in British Columbia just to visit with his dad and his parents who are from the Congo, and to show them how what a man of the world he was. He brought his African prayer candles and his djembe drum. Can we get some djembe drums in honor of Hugh Freeze? Drew, can we show Adam how to do it? I mean, if he's going to take over, this is a critical part of the job.
That is extremely critical. Paul Phil, if you're listening, you want to win, get Freeze in. Right this wrong. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, D.R. Vol. What do you think, Bear? Jonathan Kongbo on Twitter today confirming the djembe drum story.
Yeah. Yeah, you Freeze a weird dude, man.
Are you vacillating again? You said you were all on board yesterday.
I mean, I'm on board.
You're so wishy-washy, dude.
I am not wishy-washy. I'm telling you, man. He's one of the – even if he wins, he'll be one of the most unlikable coaches we've ever had. Now, if he wins, that's fine.
Well, that's all it's about. All this – likable, he's a good fit, He identifies the fan base. None of that, Matt. That's all BS, man. The truest take ever in the sea of BS that this show has produced through the years, the truest take ever is offered by Dave Bartu several years ago during one of our coaching searches when he said, there's no such thing as a good fit. That's nonsense. You know what a good fit is? Somebody who wins. That's all that matters.
Yep.
If a guy wins, yeah, he's a good fit. People love him. The truth is, Pruitt's probably a pretty good fit. He's a Southern guy, SEC guy, respects Tennessee, respects our tradition, knows what it means to win. He just sucks. He's not a good coach. He's a loser. You think Bruce Pearl was a good fit here at Tennessee? Oh, he's a good fit. What? He's like a Jewish guy from Boston, like never been below the Mason. He was a fit here because he won. If he didn't win, we would have run him out just like Buzz. Hour number two of the drive. No such thing as a good fit. And Hugh Freeze be no different. If he wins, we'll love him. If he doesn't, we'll throw him in the gutter and go get another. Stay with us. Hour number two of the drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.